You're listening to On the Record Online with Eric Schwartzman, where reporters and journalists go on the record about how they use the internet to cover the news. For the latest trends, tips, and tactics on how the web shapes popular opinion, subscribe to our RSS news feed or visit us online at www.ipressroom.com.
Elizabeth Weiss, biotechnology and food reporter with USA Today, goes on the record about what not to do in your internet press room.
I hate Shockwave. I want to get in and out as quickly as possible. I want a phone number. I hate websites where there's no media phone number, so I can't just...
We'll be back. Stay with us.
Don't be left behind. Get the latest online PR tools and services from my press room. Powerful, easy to use, available on demand. Extend your sphere of influence online with iPressroom. Tools for online media centers, virtual private press rooms, RSS news feeds, podcasts, and more at www.ipressroom.com. iPressroom, always on, even when you're off.
Elizabeth Weiss is a reporter with USA Today, the national daily newspaper with a circulation of more than 2.3 million issues daily. She covers biotechnology and the food industries. I am pleased to have her with me on this podcast.
Thank you so much.
So now, a lot of people are competing for your attention on a daily basis. How do you decide which emails to read and which ones to chuck?
The most important thing is they need to come to the point in the first paragraph. You've got four sentences to tell me what's going on. A lot of times the first four sentences are taken up with gobbledygook jargon, names of people I don't care about. I want to know what's the news, why should I care, and I want context. I don't want to just know that your company's done something. I want to know that in this space, X billion number of dollars are spent. This problem costs U.S. consumers X number of million dollars. And we are one of seven companies working to help this problem, only we're ahead of the pack, and here's why. But context, brevity, lack of jargon, I mean, somebody outside of the industry should be able to read it and know exactly what you're saying.
So now let's say somebody pulls that off, and they hit all the bases, and you like what you read. What's the first action that you take?
I'll email them back. I'll email them back with questions. Because usually, I mean, in a pitch has got to be short. I'll email back and say, what about X, Y, and Z? Can you give me a little more background? Which is why I want the person answering those emails to actually know something. You know, I want them to be someone who can answer me in a coherent manner about usually fairly technical questions, because I'm a science writer, so I'm often asking, well, that's interesting. What protein does that gene that you guys just licensed code for? And I expect to get an answer back that is coherent.
Now, let me ask you, will you ever search the company's name or search the company's website before you make the call?
Oh, yeah. No, often I will. I mean, I want to know more about them. I want to know where they are. I want to find a phone number for them. I want to know, you know, I may go to NexisLexis and do a search on them. I mean, it depends on how much time I have. Usually, when I'm going through my email box, most things I delete. If somebody's actually said something interesting, I'll drop a line back and say, hey, that's interesting. Tell me about something else. But the truth is that, generally speaking, when somebody sends me an email that might pique my interest, the story that results will often have absolutely nothing to do with anything in that pitch. But they'll stay in my head, and I'll think, oh, interesting. I had no idea there was a company that was working on that in Dubuque. Huh, interesting. And I may, a year later, need to know something about Dubuque or something about that particular industry, or there might be one thing at the bottom that I thought, huh, that's an interesting little factoid, and I'll call back later. So you often don't know what the response is going to be or when it's going to come.
Now, if you go to a company's website to check them out, what are you looking for and what do you expect to find?
I hate Shockwave. I want to get in and out as quickly as possible. I want a phone number. I hate websites where there's no media phone number, so I can't just... I often, the quickest way to get information is to call somebody and ask them. So I'll go to the website and I'll read a mission statement, and I might look at, you know, this is what we do. Beyond that, I'm going to call and get a PR person on the phone so I can ask specific questions.
Now, generally speaking, if you can't find a name and a phone number, what do you do?
I go to Hoover's and I look them up and I find their corporate headquarter number.
So at that point, you'd bypass the PR agency because the number, their information wasn't on the press release.
Correct.
So you just go straight to the company.
Well, usually there's a number on a press release, but you know, I may delete the press release and 6 months later think of, oh yeah, there was that company. Huh? And I go to their website, and often companies don't have a phone number because they don't want, I presume, to be harassed by the public. But that's when I'll go to Hoover's.
Now, let's say you go to their website and you find an in-the-news page with links to current news coverage on that company. Would that give you more confidence in that company, or would it be a deterrent because maybe your competition has already covered them?
It depends. Actually, it can be helpful to me as a national paper to look and see if they've only had local coverage, then that's fine. If they've been in the New York Times and the Wall Street Journal the last week, I probably am not going to write about them. But links like that are actually quite helpful.
Now, if you get a press release with information that you might find interesting and it sends you to the website, and the website is out of sync with the press release, you don't find the press release online, you don't find the latest information online, does that give you less confidence in that company's ability to manage their message, or does it seem as though maybe the lights are on but nobody's home?
It's sad how often that's the case. I don't know if I would think that someone's website not being... For the people I deal with, not necessarily. But again, I'm dealing with biotech firms. I'm not dealing with high-tech firms anymore. So, I mean, high-tech firms, yeah, they need to be cutting edge. But, you know, a biotech firm, they're scientists. They could be a little out of whack, and I'd still call.
What about the blogosphere? If they're receiving a good deal of praise in the blogosphere, does that impact your perception of that company?
I just don't have time to read blogs. So, no, I would have no idea if they were or weren't.
And generally speaking, how well do you think the PR industry is making use of technology to spread the word for its clients?
Well, thank God for email. Email is so much better. Who uses FedEx anymore? I get FedEx packages and I think, why would you bother? I mean, email is great. So email and websites for finding contacts. I was doing this work before the web existed and I remember how hard it was. And that's great. But beyond that, the quickest, fastest way to get information is generally to speak to a human being. So for me, email and the web are ways to find out the human being that I need to talk to and call them.
And tell us now, just from a broad perspective, what makes USA Today different than the New York Times and the Wall Street Journal? How would you characterize the USA Today broadly, other than the other national dailies?
We're not a financial paper. We're not trying to be the newspaper of record. We are, for almost all of our readers, a second paper after reading their local newspaper. So we're presumably not the ones giving them the first news. What we try and give them is depth, and we're known for news you can use. I mean, we're not the New York Times in, you know, having the latest, greatest, most in-depth details, but what we've got is stuff that someone can read and say, wow, I had no idea, that's a great story, or I'm going to cut this out and send it to, you know, my mother or my sister because this is useful information.
Now, is the fact that the wires are now accessible to individuals on the internet, how is that impacting the type of news that you guys print? I mean, are you looking more towards commentary or analysis? Since a lot of times, by the time the reader gets the morning paper, they already know the news?
They already know what's going on. Yeah, we're there to offer context. Context and great writing. I mean, if it's not a great read, people aren't going to bother because they can read a headline on Yahoo that tells them the news. We have to tell them a story. So, which is why the one thing I think PR people forget is tell us stories. You know, tell us personalities. Tell us gossip. Tell us funny things that happened. Tell us... people, the stories are what make people read a story to the very end. It's not data, it's not facts. You can get that from the web. People want stories.
Great. Thank you very much for joining us.
You are so welcome. Thank you so much.
You've been listening to On the Record Online with Eric Schwartzman, where reporters and journalists go on the record about how they use the web to cover the news. For the latest trends, tips, and tactics on how the web impacts corporate reputations, subscribe to our RSS news feed or visit us online at www.ipressroom.com.